Getting an ADHD diagnosis in Australia can be a postcode and price tag lottery. Waitlists keep growing. Private assessments can cost thousands, leaving many, especially in rural and lower income communities, stuck in limbo. But big policy changes are coming to New South Wales. Soon, both adults and children will be able to go to a GP for ADHD diagnosis and treatment. It's a step further than some other states like Queensland, where GPs can currently only diagnose children. The New South Wales government says it'll cut long wait times and hefty specialist fees. So how are GPs being prepared for the shift? And what does this mean if you're navigating life with ADHD? Well, MJ O'Neill is a transgender musician, writer, and corporate strategist. She was diagnosed in her 30s with ADHD. Sarah O'Doherty is president of the Australian Association of Psychologists. And Dr. Chris Sue is a Queensland GP and the director of the Australasian ADHD Professionals Association. MJ, I will start with you. In 2020, you were struggling. You decided that you needed to seek help and be tested for ADHD. How long did it take you to get a diagnosis?
I'd say probably between 9 to 12 months, depending on when you started. And it was a long... I'd kind of accepted that I'd had some form of ADHD or something that looked a lot like it for years beforehand, but I didn't think I needed help. But then I crashed really badly in 2020, like a lot of people, and I needed to... It was less a case of I decided I wanted to seek help, and it was a case of if I don't seek help, then I don't know how much longer we'll go on.
Yeah, okay. 2020, that timeline, I feel like I've heard a lot of people with quite a similar timeline to that. We were all sort of alone with our thoughts or with people close to us, whether we liked it or not, and that brought up this sort of thing for a lot of people.
Yeah, it was a time of, let's call it great independence, and it's a case of in executive functioning, you know, that idea of how to organise your life, it's like, particularly I think, I'd worked from home for a long time before that, but I think a lot of people going into that working from home environment, it's like, you're the boss of you and you're accountable to you, and then all of a sudden you kind of need to be a lot more comfortable sort of holding yourself to account than you might have ever had to be before. And then you're holding yourself to these standards that you might not meet. And so it just builds and builds and builds. You don't have that sort of safety net of talking to people, getting more help with stuff that you can't tackle. You don't know how to talk about it. And so, yeah, it was, I think I'm not surprised that it kind of led to, I suppose, a grand awakening of ADHD people.
So it took months for you, you said. How much did it cost, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, it's hard to remember and adjust for inflation, but I think when I wrote about it in 2020, it was about $2,000, $3,000, but I think that would be a conservative estimate.
Dr. Chris Sue, you're a GP who's treating people with ADHD in Queensland. Do you hear stories like MJ's pretty commonly?
It's an expensive, difficult to know where to go or where to start kind of process. And there are a lot of people advertising in the space, which makes it really confusing to know which way to go. And historically, while there's some GPs who are really, really involved in this space, like some of the rank and file of my colleagues really also get confused about which way to kind of send people. And it can just mean that people go around in circles and get frustrated and do things a more expensive way or a longer way.
So, Chris, you're in Queensland, where the law here changed in 2017 to allow GPs to diagnose ADHD in kids, people 17 years and under. How did that limitation or how did that expansion and limitation of the rules affect you and your practice?
I have to say that I'm actually not really 100% sure how or why that all came about. I've asked quite a few people around the country who work in this space, and no one really knows. It just kind of happened, and nobody heard anything about it. And many of the specialist groups and doctors still, when I mention it, are kind of surprised, like they're hearing it for the first time. Oh, that's possible. So in no other state in Australia are GPs allowed to actually do that. It's a very particular Queensland thing. And it's great because it means that in when you know, you're actually able to dip your toe in the water and actually be involved and actually develop the skill to go and be involved if you have the inclination and skill to do so in the GP space. Where how it does impact things is, and this would be representative of every other state, is that the paperwork burden at 18 is just incredible. And there's a lot of hoops to jump through, and also you sometimes put the risk of, like, you know, vulnerable adolescents and young adults having to go through, again, a sort of opaque kind of system often to get re-diagnosed at 18 or reassessed. Otherwise, they can't continue their care. And for a lot of ADHD teenagers, where one of the main things is if it's too hard, it's not done, it can mean that it's just too hard and it's not done. Sorry, that's a really big question. And it impacts me hugely from day to day because we have to do a whole bunch of extra chasing, reassessing. We often have to find new clinicians to refer and resend to then be able to get the patients back to just continue the care that we're actually able to do routinely, which costs a lot of money.
You're listening to Life Matters here on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking about the new changes recently announced in New South Wales, saying that general practitioners, GPs in New South Wales, will soon be able to diagnose and treat people with ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, not straight away, and it will be an accreditation process that they have to go to get there. Kate from Berry in New South Wales has texted saying, I recently discovered that my two repeats of my ADHD medication were more than 6 months old and couldn't be filled without me returning to my psychiatrist for a revised script. He's travelling overseas at the moment. So there's literally no other option other than to get a referral to a new psychiatrist with a 6 month wait or wait for his return. The difference between me medicated and unmedicated is pretty profound. Kate continues, to get through, we are rationing my daughter's medication, splitting tablets in half to see if both of us can wiggle our way through to my psychiatrist's return. And George from New South Wales says, getting my ADHD diagnosis at 65 has changed my life. I wish there had been better community education available earlier. But George makes the point that the GP option has merit in the face of a backlog, but there's a specialist need in the system to help manage the ADHD, either with a psychiatrist or a psychologist. So Sarah O'Doherty, President of the Australian Association of Psychologists, thanks for joining the conversation. What are your concerns that GPs might not have the training required for accurate diagnosis and management?
I'm actually really confident that GPs will eventually have that training. I know that the Australasian ADHD Professionals Association will be providing that training to GPs. The concern that we have here is that in terms of GPs and what their role should be, I absolutely love that response from Kate, the caller in, who is talking about needing scripts, needing them now, not being able to access a specialist, but having that ability to go to that GP and have re-referrals, re-scripts, and have that medication when they need it. That is absolutely the correct role for GPs. The thing is here, though, is we have 15,000 psychologists in New South Wales who are already trained in being able to do that ADHD assessment and diagnosis, but we don't have the ability to refer to the psychiatrist. So for that, we do need the GP referral, and we aren't able to prescribe, which isn't something that we want to be doing anyway. But what we do need is that thorough and holistic assessment and diagnosis of ADHD. So I'm really hoping that, you know, the training course that GPs are going to undergo in the next 6 months, for those who are interested in taking up this training, that training course is going to be worthwhile for them. But here is where that ideal partnership between GPs and psychologists is going to be paramount in ensuring that correct diagnosis.
Yes, Sarah, it's such a tangled web, and I think if you've had to navigate it yourself, you know it intricately, and if you haven't, it can be a bit confusing. Children's typically diagnosed by a pediatrician, adults by a psychiatrist, you're a psychologist. How do you see these different specialties working together in an ideal world?
I think the issue here, Tegan, is there is that lack of community education in who is able to diagnose. So yes, a pediatrician can absolutely diagnose. Yes, a psychiatrist can absolutely diagnose, but they are not the only ones able to diagnose. And the role of the pediatrician in the diagnosis, the role of the psychiatrist in the diagnosis is being able to then prescribe and treat ADHD with medication. And that is not the only way of treating ADHD. We know that absolutely medication plays a vital role in the treatment of ADHD. But often children are also diagnosed through assessments that are run through school psychologists or external psychologists when they are referred, when they are little and in primary school. And then for that further additional medication support, they can then go and see that pediatrician for that. So the role of that comprehensive assessment really needs to be through a holistic process. That process is really long. It can go for multiple sessions, multiple hours, multiple assessment tasks that the person needs to go through and complete, that the parents need to go through and complete. And then after all of that, we're then able to have that comprehensive assessment and diagnosis. Now, I'm hoping that there are going to be times set aside for GPs to complete those assessments and have those assessments be as thorough as this. However, what happens to the other patients who are also seeing GPs, and what happens to the GPs who are seeing patients for multiple hours to get that sort of a diagnosis? So there's lots of unanswered questions here.
As you're speaking, Sarah, I can see MJ smiling and nodding. It's like you really know this from the inside, MJ. Looking back on your diagnosis journey and contrasting it with what Sarah's talking about, what an ideal world could look like, how does what would have made your journey easier?
It's a long list. Starting it earlier is probably a big one up there. But I think, like, to me, what is really strong about what Sarah's coming across with there is the holistic approach. Like, I saw the same psychologist, I still see the same psychologist since, like, 2009, and she has been instrumental in regards to whether I knew I had ADHD or not. Just helping me cope with life and figuring out how to actually take care of myself and manage things to a colossal degree. But she essentially was able to have no dialogue throughout the diagnosis process. Like, there was no way for her to kind of submit a letter or, like, to talk to either of the sort of, well, any of the three psychiatrists that I saw as part of it. And I think she could have provided, like, vital context. One of the problems I ran into when I was kind of doing the diagnosis was they were like, well, you're so accomplished. Like, I am a person of quite extraordinary capacity. And so they kind of went, you couldn't possibly have it and still be sort of operating in this way. And it's like, if I could have had my psychologist or even just my GP actually be able to talk more openly with the psychiatrist in question, they could tell them, like, the struggles around that, as opposed to, I think, coming just from me, there's that problem of psychiatrists having to weigh, like, is this what you're saying because you think it'll get you where you want? Is this necessarily this sort of thing? But if I could have had that sort of more connected healthcare sort of journey, it would have been, I think, a lot more... It would have made it a lot easier on all of the professionals involved, I think. And I think if that had existed before all of this, I probably would have been put on ADHD medication a lot sooner because my psychologist would have a pathway to recommend.
You're listening to Life Matters here on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking about announced changes in New South Wales that GPs will be able to prescribe and treat ADHD in the coming months. B says, thank you for this focus on ADHD. I spent 5 years on a public waiting list and then another 2 trying to find a psychiatrist through my GP who could work with me. She said, you're better off going private. The private diagnosis required personal letters from friends and family, school records, and a referral from GP and psychotherapist. It was a 7-year journey, and I'm still waiting for a medication script. So, Chris, coming back to you from that GP's point of view, Sarah spoke before about the other patients that a GP is working with and perhaps what it means for the GP's workload to be part of this. What trade-offs are we potentially making when we are bringing GPs into this process, or do you think it's a net good?
So basically, it's more that the pool of genuine ADHD specialists in this country is, like, tiny. Like, there's 300 or so child psychiatrists in the whole country, which if you, you know, look at 10%, 7.5 to 10% of children have it, those numbers don't compute, and genuine developmental pediatricians are not much higher. There are some GPs who are very specialised in this area, and I think what you'll end up having is actually a very tiered system of GPs. Like, you've got going to have some baseline guys who will just continue prescriptions, and that will already be huge. You'll have some people who will be skill up enough that they won't diagnose, but they will prescribe and titrate the medication, because that's a huge skill in itself. And GPs are actually really, like, actually quite good at doing that already and monitoring for harm. And then you're going to have a few people like me who just go the whole, you know, kit and caboodle. And basically, I'm general GP in only my initial training. I don't do anything other than ADHD, and it's hugely changed my practice. And the trade-offs are that, yes, a lot of my usual patients have had to find, like my older patients have had to find a GP who is actually available, who can actually do it, because I'm just so inundated with ADHD stuff. But there's so few ADHD specialists in this area, or people helping people to negotiate this system, that I've accepted that even though I love general practice, so I chose the specialty, this is my lot in life and how I can make the biggest difference now.
Sarah, looking at a national perspective, we have such a patchy system across the country, state by state, because that's how the way our health system's set up. What would you like to see a bit more consistency across Australia?
That's a really great question. And I just want to echo what Dr. Chris was saying just before. You know, this is going to be a drop in the ocean for people who require that holistic assessment and diagnosis for ADHD. And as he's saying, the prescription and medication side of things is the GP specialty. So I really hope that this is going to have a really big uptake for GPs. And if we're looking at it from that national level, as I said, in New South Wales, we've got 15,000 psychologists. Every one of us is trained to perform an ADHD assessment and diagnosis. And the majority of us actually do this in our practice. Now, what we need on a national level is an equitable and accessible funding stream for this to occur. Now, the federal government and Medicare does not fund ADHD or other assessments with psychologists. So if a patient wants to come and see us for that assessment, they're paying often in the range of $1,200 to $2,000 plus per assessment per person. And that is a really comprehensive assessment, and you get the diagnosis and you get the report, but then you don't have that access to the medication. And that's where we need that link to the GPs. So the GPs are going to be able to prescribe that medication. And if we did have Medicare on board, if we did have the federal government support to extend Medicare to psychologists, we would then have already thousands of psychologists able to provide these assessments at a much more accessible and affordable fee for patients across Australia, not just New South Wales. So I would really, really be lobbying, and we're still the Australian Association of Psychologists are heavily lobbying the government to extend Medicare to ensure that we can have more of this provision of services because, as Dr. Chris was saying, we just don't have enough people to be able to do that assessment and diagnosis and treatment in Australia.
Thank you all very much. Sarah O'Doherty is the president of the Australian Association of Psychologists. You also heard from Dr. Chris Sue, Queensland GP and the director of the Australasian ADHD Professionals Association, and MJ O'Neill, who was diagnosed with ADHD in her 30s.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.